Well, Sabbath blessings, one and all. It's good to be back in fellowship with you. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording, and praise God for bringing us back together to be able to dig into His Word of inspiration and to worship Him and praise His holy name in spirit and in truth. Pray that God has blessed you and mercifully protected and kept you safe from harm throughout this past week. And again, it's good to be back in fellowship with my dear brothers and sisters in the faith. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled, I Will Follow Thee, My Savior. And as we near the end of time, and as trials and tribulations continue to grow and afflict us and affect us in various ways, we need evermore to follow the Savior wherever He leads the way. I will follow Thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where Thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow Thee. I will follow Thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed Thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake Thee, by Thy grace I'll follow Thee. Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as the foaming sea, Thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow Thee. I will follow Thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed Thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake Thee, by Thy grace I'll follow Thee. Though I meet with tribulations, sorely tempted though I be, I remember Thou wast tempted, and rejoice to follow Thee. I will follow Thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed Thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake Thee, by Thy grace I'll follow Thee. Though through great and fierce affliction, poor forsaken though I be, Thou wast destitute afflicted, and I only follow Thee. I will follow Thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed Thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake Thee, By thy grace, I'll follow thee. Though to Jordan's rolling billows, cold and deep, thou leadest me. Thou hast crossed the waves before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Amen. He has led the way, and the faithful follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And what a privilege it is and an honor to follow the Lamb. Amen. He has trod before us and shows us the way and how to handle any situation through His grace. Now it's time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Lynn will offer that for us.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. It is indeed a pleasure to be able to ask the Lord's presence this evening. Shall we bow and kneel as far as possible? Kind and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to have come to the end of another week and the beginning of another Sabbath that has already come in. Lord, we're truly unworthy for all of your blessings that were bestowed upon us this week. And Lord, though we go through the trials, we just pray that we follow you whithersoever you lead. I pray for all of my dear brethren this evening and for all of those listening on the phone or at a later date. You see the needs of each one, Lord. You see the special requests that have gone up for each one. You know each one by heart, Lord. You know the souls that we continually lift before thee. I just thank you beforehand, Lord, and plead forgiveness for every sin, Lord, known and unknown, that my prayer would be heard, I pray. Bless dear Elder Rob as he presents the message this evening, and thank you for opening our minds and our ears that we may hear you speaking to us. These things I pray and thank you beforehand. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. So welcome one and all once again, and happy Sabbath to you. I want to express my appreciation to Sister Rose and the rest of those who helped out in last Friday night's service. It turned out the modem that our internet service provider had given us to allow us internet access was going bad. And so that's why there was an intermittent problem. And as it would happen, right about Friday afternoon, just before everybody left the internet provider company, so they weren't able to help us get the problem fixed, our modem would act up. And so I think you know what power was behind that activity going on. But we have a new modem now, and so Lord willing, we will be trouble-free from now on. So, again, thank you so very much, dear ones, for taking over last Friday night's meeting and for continuing it, especially for those that were listening over the phone as well as those on the recording. Thank you so much. So last Friday evening, we were able to finish chapter 29 of Patriarchs and Prophets, dealing with Satan's enmity against the law of God. And now we start a new chapter, chapter 30, that's entitled The Tabernacle and Its Services. And I wonder what spiritual insights we're going to find through these pages. There is so much spiritual insight and knowledge of the plan of salvation contained in the sanctuary, how it was built, the type of material that was used, how the furniture was arranged, the various sacrifices and why it had to be lambs and not any other type of animal. It was rams and bullocks as well, but not any other type of animal, just those. Why was it that way? Why, if individuals were too poor, that they could substitute pigeons or doves? Or perhaps if they didn't have enough money to purchase those, they were able to bring a handful of flour. Why? All of that has significance. And so those scriptural passages dealing with the sanctuary there in Exodus and Leviticus, those have import to show us the plan of salvation and Christ's place in that great plan, as well as our place in that plan as well. And so I'm a little excited to get into this particular chapter, and so let's begin. Chapter 30 begins on page 334. The command was communicated to Moses while in the mount with God. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And full directions were given for the construction of the tabernacle. So what was the purpose for the sanctuary in the first place? What was the reason that the command was given to Moses for the children of Israel to build a sanctuary? Amen. Amen. So that God could dwell with his people. And amen as well, so that they could worship God. So we know that this was the Lord God Michael, who would become Jesus Christ couple thousand years later. So before this sanctuary was built, the Lord God Michael was in the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night. But he wasn't content just to be in the clouds. He wanted to dwell among his people. But if he would come down from the clouds and dwell with the Israelites, they'd all be destroyed by the brightness and glory that surrounds him. So if you can picture this, God wanted to dwell with his people because he loved them, but he couldn't physically be there with his people or they'd all be destroyed. So then how is this problem going to be solved? It was with a sanctuary specifically built so that God could dwell among his people. Not up in the clouds, not far away in the kingdom of heaven, but to dwell in their midst. So the Lord God Michael gave Moses full directions for the construction of this tabernacle. Continuing. By their apostasy, the Israelites forfeited the blessing of the divine presence, and for the time rendered impossible the erection of a sanctuary for God among them. But after they were again taken into favor with heaven, the great leader proceeded to execute the divine command. Chosen men were especially endowed by God with skill and wisdom for the construction of the sacred building. So here we see that the Israelites didn't have to hire anyone from the surrounding heathen nations to construct God's sanctuary. But God specifically gave skill and wisdom to various people among the Israelites to be able to build the sanctuary. Now, the scriptures also mention that we are living stones that are constructed as a temple for God to dwell among us. So then, as we are the sanctuary, if there is anything lacking to be able to construct the sanctuary, then we don't have to go to people of the world to obtain their skill and wisdom for building up God's temple. All we have to do is look to God to provide the skill and the talents necessary among our church family. And God will do so. So if there's anything that we're lacking as a church family, any particular responsibility or talent that is needed in order to make this home church or any other home church of God around the world to be much more functioning for His glory, all we have to do is ask God to provide the extra talents, and He will do so. So chosen men were especially endowed by God with skill and wisdom for the construction of the sacred building. Continuing, God Himself gave to Moses the plan of that structure with particular directions as to its size and forms, the materials to be employed, and every article of furniture which it was to contain. The holy places made with hands were to be figures of the true patterns of things in the heavens, which is Hebrews 9:24 and verse 23. A miniature representation of the heavenly temple where Christ, our great high priest, after offering His life as a sacrifice, was to minister in the sinner's behalf. So here we see that the earthly sanctuary was a miniature scale of the heavenly sanctuary. Keep that in mind. Continuing. God presented before Moses in the mount a view of the heavenly sanctuary and commanded him to make all things according to the pattern shown him. All these directions were carefully recorded by Moses, who communicated them to the leaders of the people. So what we see as a miniature scale being brought forth here in the construction of the earthly sanctuary is what's in the heavenly sanctuary. Continuing. For the building of the sanctuary, great and expensive preparations were necessary. A large amount of the most precious and costly material was required. Yet the Lord accepted only free will offerings. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. was the divine command repeated by Moses to the congregation. Devotion to God and a spirit of sacrifice were the first requisites in preparing a dwelling place for the Most High. What was the first requisites for having God dwelling in the midst of his people? It wasn't talent. Amen. Willingness. Willingness to sacrifice and devotion to God. If you have given God your whole heart without holding anything back, if you're devoted and converted to God, and you desire to sacrifice for his cause, then you are already preparing yourself to be a dwelling place for the Most High. The Bible also brings out the fact that God wants to write his law in our hearts and minds. And the law of God was put into the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the most holy place of the sanctuary. And the presence of God dwelt above that Ark, in between the cherub angels' wings that were spread out over the Ark. So if God's law is written in your heart and mind, then that means God wants to dwell within you as his temple, as his sanctuary. So the Bible brings out both particular ways to have God dwelling with us. We're all living stones that are brought together into a church family for God to dwell in our midst as his temple. But individually, each one of us is to be a dwelling place for the Most High. So if you as an individual are devoted to God and desire to sacrifice for his cause, then that's the first step to becoming a temple for God to dwell within you. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions before we continue? Please feel free. So God only accepts a free will offering, nothing that comes from force. Only a willing offering and sacrifice will he accept. So the message went out to the children of Israel that everyone who wanted to give willingly for the building of this sanctuary so God could dwell in their midst, to please bring their donations so it could be accomplished and built up. Continuing. All the people responded with one accord. They came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings, and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So only the best materials were brought for the construction of this sanctuary. Nothing worthless went into the building of God's temple. It all was of worth. So when we're talking about individuals becoming a temple of the Lord, we by ourselves really have nothing of worth to give God except our hearts. And if we give our hearts to Christ without reserve, Christ promises that he will make each man and each woman and each child of more worth than the precious wedge of Ophir, the precious gold that came from Ophir. And Ophir was a particular part of the country where the best quality or the most purest gold was found. So in coming to Christ, just as you are, Christ promises to make you more valuable than pure gold. And thus you become a dwelling place for the Most High. There's a comment in the room or a question in the room. It says, was it not the treasures of Egypt they or the Israelites received before their exodus? And yes, it was. Yes, it was. Because they had worked there as slaves for 430 years. The Egyptians were so willing to have the Israelites leave that they gave them golden vessels and jewels and all precious things to hurry them on their way. And God said that that was compensation for their wages for working for so long without pay. So the treasures that the Israelites brought for the building of the sanctuary was of their own earned income, even though it was treasures from Egypt. But the treasures from Egypt were not brought into the sanctuary just as they were. They were melted down and changed into something that was no longer connected with corruption, but was now connected with purity. And amen. Isaiah 64, verse 6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Amen. Amen. So of ourselves, we have nothing of worth to bring to God except our willing hearts. And Christ promises to take our hearts and through connection with his grace and instruction of the Most High, we will indeed become more valuable than the most precious objects on the earth. So all the people responded with one accord. They gave willingly. They gave up their most precious possessions that they had worked hard to obtain, because they wanted God to dwell among them. How much are you willing to sacrifice in order to have God dwell in you? Continuing. and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and seal skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. So the offerings that were brought were not all of the same material. Some was gold, but some was just brass. Some was royal material in the color purple, but others was just seal skins. But yet, all of these things, though they differed, God considered valuable. It all had a place in His sanctuary. It all had a purpose. Everything wasn't made just from gold. So if the people only gave their gold, but nothing else, then the sanctuary could not be built. There had to be silver there for a specific purpose. There also had to be brass there for a specific purpose. Everything had its proper place and function. It's the same with us as lively stones formed and united together into a dwelling place for the Most High. Each of us has been given by God talents. These talents, no matter what they may be, are all of importance in God's sanctuary. We may look at individuals who are able to communicate very effectively as having one of the greatest talents, but yet that talent of speech is not any more important than the talent of greeting individuals, of comforting them, of having the spirit of discernment or the spirit of organization. It's not any more important than what individuals term to be the least important talents. They all have their place and function in God's sanctuary. Every individual that's part of this church family has an important function and purpose that no one else can accomplish but them. Your talents need to be used in building up this home church to be a place that the Most High can dwell in. The same with every other church group that is connected with God around the world. Everyone's gift has been given to them by God for a purpose. Are you using the talents that God has given you? If it's just one, are you using it for God's glory and for benefiting your fellow brothers and sisters? And it doesn't matter how small in your eyes or in the world's eyes this talent may be. It's of importance. Amen. Comment in the room says, though each member of the body has value in themselves, their value is increased 100-fold when joined together in one body. Amen. Paul brought out the fact that not everybody is an eye, or not everybody is a right arm, but yet every different part of the body has its proper place and function. Have you ever tried to run without a big toe? Your balance is off. That toe and each toe serves a function that's important. The same with each finger. That's what God was trying to bring forth by having all of these different materials brought in to construct His dwelling place. It all had importance. The same with each one of us. We are all important to God. We're all important to this home church family. God wants to dwell in our midst, and He wants to dwell within you. And what's the first requisites for having God dwelling here and in you as an individual? Devotion to God and a spirit of sacrifice. What had to take place before God's sanctuary could be constructed? The people showed their devotion to God by willingly sacrificing of their goods so that the sanctuary could be constructed and God could dwell in their midst. Are you willing to devote yourself to God? And are you willing to devote your talents to God? To sacrifice them for the good of His cause. I pray so, dear ones. Because it means everything to the Christian to have God dwell among them and rule within them. But God will not rule within us if we have a divided heart. It has to be wholly devoted to Him. And God will not dwell within us if we're not willing to sacrifice everything for His cause, to put it all on the altar and let God rule and overrule in all our affairs. And it's a process. But looking into the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, He continuing. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, the blue and the purple, the scarlet and the fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun the goat's hair. So here we see that it was not just the men that were involved in preparing this sanctuary. The women were as well. Every individual had their proper place and function in the construction of the sanctuary. No one was left out. continuing. And the rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And that was all taken from Exodus 35, verses 23 to 28. While the building of the sanctuary was in progress, the people, old and young, men, women, and children, continued to bring their offerings until those in charge of the work found that they had enough and even more than could be used. So it wasn't just the old and the young men and women, or the adults. It was also children that were involved in bringing about the construction of the temple for God to dwell amongst them. Again, every individual had their proper place and work in this construction of God's temple. And God's Spirit continued to work upon the hearts of the Israelites until enough offerings had been brought in to construct the sanctuary, and there was even a surplus beyond that. Continuing. And Moses caused to be proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing. The murmurings of the Israelites and the visitations of God's judgments because of their sins are recorded as a warning to after generations. And their devotion, their zeal, and liberality are an example worthy of imitation. All who love the worship of God and prize the blessing of His sacred presence will manifest the same spirit of sacrifice in preparing a house where He may meet with them. They will desire to bring to the Lord an offering of the very best they possess. A house built for God should not be left in debt, for He is thereby dishonored. An amount sufficient to accomplish the work should be freely given, that the workmen may be able to say, as did the builders of the tabernacle, "Bring no more offerings." Praise God for opening a way for us to meet online so that we don't have to that big, expensive building that must be heated and maintained and kept up. We can meet together online with very little overhead. Praise God for allowing technology to keep us connected as brothers and sisters in the faith and as a home church for God to dwell in our midst. Continuing. The tabernacle was so constructed that it could be taken apart and borne with the Israelites in all their journeyings. It was therefore small, being not more than 55 feet in length and 18 in breadth and height. Yet it was a magnificent structure. The wood employed for the building and its furniture was that of the acacia tree, which was less subject to decay than any other to be obtained at Sinai. The walls consisted of upright boards set in silver sockets and held firm by pillars and connecting bars, and all were overlaid with gold, given to the building an appearance of solid gold. The roof was formed of four sets of curtains, the innermost of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubim of cunning work. The other three, respectively, were of goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and seal skins, so arranged as to afford complete protection. The building was divided into two apartments by a rich and beautiful curtain or veil suspended from gold-plated pillars, and a similar veil closed the entrance of the first apartment. These, like the inner covering, which formed the ceiling, were of most gorgeous colors, blue, purple, and scarlet, beautifully arranged, while inwrought with threads of gold and silver were cherubim to represent the angelic host, who are connected with the work of the heavenly sanctuary, and who are ministering spirits to the people of God on earth. Now, why was the only colors, other than gold and silver, why were the only colors blue and purple and scarlet connected with this sanctuary? Connected with the first and second apartment of the sanctuary. Why just these three colors? What significance, what spiritual insights do these three colors show us? Amen. Purple was a color for royalty. Amen. Blue represented obedience. Represented keeping God's law. What did red represent? Amen. Red represented sacrifice, spilling of blood. And red and blue combined make purple, royalty. So, obedience combined with sacrifice makes royalty. Christ in humanity perfectly kept God's commandments. He sacrificed himself to carry out the plan of salvation that God gave him the work to do. And he spilt his blood for each and every sinner so that they, through him, could be brought back home. Christ carried out the plan of salvation and was perfectly sinless. Throughout his entire life, God accepted his sacrifice and exalted him to his throne, royalty. God, through Christ, is inviting each one of us to follow the example of Christ so that we could be brought back home to the Father and exalted to the throne of Christ, royalty. Inheritors of the kingdom of God, joint heirs with Christ. What's the requisites to obtaining such a stupendous reward? Devotion to God, that's obedience, and a willing heart to sacrifice. That will obtain for us royalty. There is so much spiritual insight and heavenly truths found in the sanctuary, dear ones. It's an exhaustless theme to contemplate and dwell upon. Through Christ, we can become the inheritors of God's kingdom, adopted into His family as His sons and daughters. But it requires an undivided heart of devotion and obedience to God, as well as a willing heart to sacrifice anything and everything so that we can maintain our connection with our Savior. There's to be no other gods but Him in our life. And everything that begins to take our affections away from God, we must be willing to give up, to sacrifice. God must have our whole heart. Undivided. And if so, then we will become His dwelling place. Are you willing to devote yourself to God to that extent? Are you willing to sacrifice to that extent? All who do will become the children of the Most High because they've combined obedience and sacrifice together. They've combined blue and red together and have become royalty. Are there any thoughts, comments, or questions before we continue? Please go right ahead.
That's really such a beautiful presentation. And it's interesting because a lot of times in my work, they'll ask for the first initial of my last name, and I say it's K. And inside, I always think, they say K, I said yes, as in King. And in my mind, I'm thinking, K for King, because I'm a child of the King. And the analogy of the colors together are so, so beautiful. And wow, it's so good to learn God's meanings.
Amen, amen. And it just blows me away how much spiritual truths are found in the design and construction and material of the sanctuary and the priesthood and the sacrifices. And it just shows that our God is indeed all wise. Everything was purposely designed the way it was to teach a lesson, to teach some truth that would lead us to understand the Savior's mission work, His purpose, and His love for us. So there's divine reasons why the ram skins were dyed red. Why couldn't they just be the color of ram? Why did they have to be dyed red? What was the reason? Why were there seal skins there and not some other type of waterproof material? Why did it have to be linen and not cotton or some other fiber? All of this was purposeful to teach a lesson, to teach some spiritual insight. We spent 9 months going through the sanctuary, its purposes, its functions, the spiritual truths behind the materials. And we weren't able to bring forth all of the information that was there, just a small portion of it. Sister Rose even went into how the body temple was designed by God as it is. Why our human body is formed the way it is. And it was marvelous to see how God purposely formed us in such a way to represent the sanctuary. And yet that was just the tip of the iceberg of all the spiritual insights that are there. But every time a new spiritual truth is comprehended by me, or I know by you as well, it brings a joy as well as humility. Joy that we've discovered something more of the truth contained in God's Word, especially the sanctuary, but also humility to know that God put it there thousands of years ago to teach us something in these last days. Something of importance that would lead us closer to our mighty God. To be willing to devote our lives more fully to Him and to sacrifice more for His cause. And to appreciate His love and concern for each one of us. Truly, our God is mighty, powerful, compassionate, loving, tender-hearted, and of great mercy. Amen. And long-suffering. And praise His holy name. Well, I think we'll go ahead and stop here for tonight. And there's going to be so much more to dig into next Friday evening. But you don't have to wait till then. You can dig.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Hugs and love. I have a testimony. And I figured before we close for the night, I always like to give glory to God for every and all things that He does for me and everyone else. But this past week has been a mighty blessing. As I said, I was renovating my little tiny shack, and it's amazing what God has provided for me. And I don't know where, I don't know where it comes from, but God brings it to me. And even this past week, I was blessed with about 30 pounds of tomatoes, Roman tomatoes, I don't know, several pounds, 10 pounds of onions and so forth. And one of the brothers that I know has blessed me with a brand new dehydrator. So praise the Lord, because it just came in so handy. And I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God does everything at His own time and to His own pleasure, but He's always so good to me. I mean, with all those tomatoes, the only thing I could have done is put them up and can them, but now I've dried them, and what a blessing. Even something so insignificant to the world as dried tomatoes, but even God knows my heart, and He blesses me with a multitude of things. And I always tell anybody about the testimonies. I always share what God does, because a lot of people feel like there is no God. Or I told them, I'm living proof. I am living proof. God has given me 2 green thumbs. I grow everything. And only by the grace of God, I mean, anything. If somebody has a plant and it's dying, I'll take it, and it'll grow and bloom, praise the Lord. But as I said, my pockets are empty 90% of the time, but my cupboards are never bare. And God always provides for me, and spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, and it's just amazing how he does these things. So if anybody ever has a little down day or a little bit of doubt, don't doubt. I'm living proof, and God is there for you even when you don't think he is. And even when you don't think he hears your prayers, or takes a little while to answer them, but God does hear you. He does answer them, and if you're obedient and try to do the best you can, I mean, I'm not perfect in any way, but I try to do the best I can. And as far as self-sacrifice, even down to my family, when it came the choice where I had to choose God or my family, or keeping Sabbath or my family, there was no choice. And here I am, and God's blessed me with this room as well. And I love it here, because everybody has a fair say. This is more like an operating family than a church. So I think it's awesome. And I thank God for it all the time. And I love each and every one of you, even though you don't know me. Happy Sabbath.
Amen, dear sis. And I can actually personally attest to Sister Susan's green thumb, because I've personally seen her organic garden, and it is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful arrangement of veggies and fruits, and it is very, she definitely has been blessed with a green thumb. It's beautiful. But I want to praise the Lord this evening, because as I mentioned last week, an opportunity has presented itself to, at least as I see it, to be a witness. And I was kind of doubtful as to whether I should do it. They're going to be praying for my mom this coming Sabbath at her church, and they wanted her family members to be there. As you know that, I've left the SDA church for many years, and I have pondered in my heart as to whether I should go, whether I should not go, and, you know, I just have been really praying about it. And they're going to be members there with their members of that church with their family. And so I said, this could be a witnessing situation. And, you know, it's like throughout the week, the Lord has been giving me different texts, like, you know, have Joshua 1:9, you know, where he says, I used to have that memorized, but that he would be with me. And so I began to get some materials prepared, and I had downloaded, by God's grace, some wonderful tracks from the site, Daryl DeRob. And I went to go and get them copied so that I could have those to present. And I don't know what I'm going to say, but I've just been asking the Lord to please speak for me. And interestingly enough, while I was standing in line to present my order or what have you, it didn't matter to me what it was going to cost, because I was going to do that sacrifice, because my thing is, it was going to be a willing sacrifice I was giving for the Lord. So there was a gentleman standing behind me, and he was saying that he was just there to pick up some order that he had done, and he didn't want to break into line. And I smiled. And so then it ended up that someone else came and was attending to him before me. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to break in line. I said, it's okay, sir. I mean, you're just picking up your things. It's okay. There was a twinge in me that, you know, you did break in line a little bit. But I said, no, it's okay. He was just picking up his things. Well, little did I know how the Holy Spirit was going to be using that, because apparently his conscience was bothering him so bad that he felt he had broken in front of me. He says, do you come and get copies often? I said, sometimes. And he came back and gave me this little card. And what it happened to have been was a discount card. He was letting me use his discount card. And it gave me like almost 50% off of what I would have had to pay for the copies. And to me, that was just like confirmation that this was definitely of the Lord. And when I went to the Book and Bible House and got the Great Controversy that I want to present and put the flyers there, I just knew, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, they call my mom during the week to ask if one of her kids were going to be saying anything. And she says, no, they're not. I said, no, I will. And she says, you are? I said, yes, I will. Now, what am I going to say? I don't know. Please pray for me and with me, because I find this is going to be a witnessing opportunity that perhaps I will never have again. My two brothers are going to be there. That has never happened before. So please, please, please pray that the Lord will put the words in my mouth, what to say, what to do, how to present. You know, I just see this as a tremendous witnessing opportunity. And so I did want to just glorify God and what he.
Amen. We will indeed be keeping you and your mother and the precious family members and relatives in our prayers. In fact, let us go ahead and bow our heads right now. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being a God that is close at hand, one that we can come to in any time of need, and we indeed come before thy throne in the name of our dear Savior Jesus Christ, that you will be with our dear sister Lynn, that you will indeed give her the words of wisdom in such a way that will leave an impression upon the hearts of your dear loved ones. We thank you, Father, for allowing this meeting to take place, and we pray that the devil will not be allowed to do anything in any way to keep any of the people that you're drawing to the meeting from being there. But they will all be able to push through the barriers or the circumstances and be able to be in this meeting. And Father, please pour thy Spirit out and send your heavenly angels to be with each heart. And please, Spirit, prepare their hearts. Remove custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions so that the truths that are shared will not bounce off of these barriers, but will instead be able to push through them directly to their heart soil. And Spirit, drive the seeds of truth deep into their hearts. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer according to thy perfect will. And please give our dear sister courage and strength, as well as utter dependence upon thee for guidance and for help for just such a time as this. Thank you so much for doing so. And thank you that there will be decisions made from this meeting. And we pray decisions for eternal life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So the meeting will take place tomorrow right after our church service here. We will definitely be keeping it in special prayer. And thank you, dear sister, for letting us know so that we can indeed unite our prayers with yours. Oh, actually during the service. Okay. We will indeed be keeping it in prayer as we meet. So thank you, dear sister.
Amen. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the prayer and everyone's prayer. And for that special prayer, dear Elder Rob, thank you so much. That was my intrepidation, if you will, to begin with, because it would be, I guess, you know, their worship service or what have you. But their reason for praying for different members of the church, they, so to speak, number one, my mom, I believe, is the oldest, how would you put it, sister in her church. The Lord has allowed her to see 85 years. And so, you know, I didn't know how much longer I would have to be able to do this witnessing. So anyway, I just leave it in his hands. We've prayed about it, and I have to believe that it's all in his hands, and that is beautiful, yes, all to Jesus.
But I like to share scripture psalm plus assurance. Do you have that psalm, Madura?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. The heir of salvation, purchase of God. For of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my song, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, free from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, always at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed, watching, waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His word. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, He's my Savior all the day long.
This is just ECIC, you put there, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. And thank you so much, dear sister. Are there any other songs, any other thoughts, comments, testimonies, questions? Anything you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, please feel free. Well, a hymn comes to mind, Draw Me Nearer. And any that know this particular beautiful hymn and would like to take a verse, please feel free. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spread. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleed.
Amen. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest and dwell with Thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. And that's where we find eternal life, dear ones, is nearer, nearer to the Savior. And we get there through devotion and the cross of self-crucifixion. And what a joy it is to connect in union with our precious Lord. Well, another hymn comes to mind, dear ones, Abide with Me. And I think we'll go ahead and close with this hymn and then have closing prayer afterwards. So if any would like to take a verse of this, please feel free to do so. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me.
Swift to its close, ebbs out blood's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou who changest not, abide with me.
I need Thy presence every passing hour. What but Thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like Thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me.
I fear no foe, with Thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave Thy victory? I triumph still if Thou abide with me. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen indeed. And Christ says, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And praise his holy name. Well, dear ones, let us please bow our heads and our knees for a closing prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being here in our midst tonight to bless us. And thank you so much for being here and allowing us to be your children. Thank you for adopting us into your royal family through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Father, please help us to be more and more devoted to thee and loyal to thy law. And help us to more and more be willing to sacrifice for thy cause and for the salvation of precious souls that do not have the Savior and thus do not have the assurance of eternal life. Please be with us now as we part. And again, dear Father, please be with our dear sister Lynn and grant her the words of life to be able to share with those whom your Spirit is already preparing their hearts to receive the precious seeds of life. Please help her not to worry or be concerned, but to rest in thy love and to look to thee for direction and guidance and words at the proper time. And thank you so much for empowering the message of life and driving the seeds of truth into the hearts of the listeners. And again, please prevent the devil from doing anything to keep them from attending this meeting. And thank you, Father, for overruling and letting thy perfect will be done in this and all other issues affecting thy people. Father, I pray that you will continue through thy Spirit to open our understanding to behold more wondrous things out of thy word of inspiration. And thank you and praise thy holy name that we're able to come together from all over the world in order to unite our voices, to sing thy praises, and to praise thy name. For you alone are worthy. And thank you for seeing worth in us when we connect with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we're a day closer to heaven. And please help us to more and more abide with Christ and thus abide with thee. So thank you for being here, and I pray that you will continue to dwell with us as your temple. Help us to get ourselves prepared so that we can have the blessed privilege and wonderful joy and experience of abiding in you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, God bless. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon in just a few hours. Until then, keep looking up. And may God be your strong tower and refuge from the storm and tempest, is my prayer. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. So God bless, dear ones.